I'm a total Francophile. I love French food, French men, and French fries.
I'm high as a kite, and I'm also the host of the High and Low podcast.
truly still not a tagline. We just got into an argument about taglines right before.
We did, didn't we? But my other one was too long.
Your other one was like, hi, I'm Bravo, Bravo, ducking Bravo, and Erica's like, what? Like, it was, that's not a tagline. That's an opinion.
I would never.
I know, well, you would never. Listen, guys, it's Andy's Girls, the show that is obviously rated explicit because we get into our feels and sometimes use words that express ourselves. And isn't that wonderful? It's I'm losing my mind.
No,
it's
you've got
episode
it.
Five. I don't know where I am right now. I'm technically in New York City. We're recording this yet another episode late at night. I have not started packing or anything. And I've run out of hours in which to get ready for my
Wait,
trip.
Can we time out? Timesies outies. What time is your flight?
Okay, you're gonna be like, you're fine, but that's not fair.
No,
so
I
my
won't.
My flight is tomorrow at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
That, yeah, I know what you're doing and you're trying to judge me, but I don't appreciate that because I have to get extremely important stuff. I have to get my eyebrows done and I have to go to Midtown East for that. I come back, I get a blowout, even though I inadvertently got a blowout today. I'm getting a second one. I don't know why. I got a manicure today. It has to be redone because my beloved person wasn't there. I went to somebody else and I remembered as soon as she started working that I was like, oh, this didn't work out the last time. And so they're a little fucked up. So I need to, and my beloved natural nails are, we cut them down short because they would break when I'm like, you know, packing stuff. Anyway, so I have to do that. I have a recording. I have deliveries. My laundry room broke. It's like closed for business as of yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it's serious. No, I like to start packing like 2 weeks before because I'm like, do I need to order anything, you know, for this vacation? So I start throwing stuff.
Well, I mean, I've been going into like Zara and other places, not trying on and just like buying in bulk. So I then try on the Clothis and then return. But what that mm-hmm. meant is that I have had just many rounds of
yeah,
running back
that's,
to return.
That's a lot
99%.
Of work. Yeah.
I truly ran like hell tonight to get to Zara. I was there 9 minutes before they closed. And then ran back home so I could watch Beverly Hills and watch What Happens. And then we recorded. And just to say, representation matters. You guys know I love Miami. I love, love, love it. You don't watch it. We're blaming this on you. Mm-hmm. Even though I truly did not have, I didn't have an hour in which to watch Miami.
I know. It's a lot.
We'll talk about it on a future episode. Listen, I might as well introduce the guest for this one, huh?
Nah, why bother?
You know her as a content creator and host of the podcast High and Low. Welcome back to Andy's Girls podcast host, small business owner in the audio department. Bravo, Bravo, ducking Bravo, BBDB. Welcome back.
It's a joy and a pleasure to be here. It's long overdue.
It is long overdue. And mazel of the day to you. I know that this has been something you've been thinking about and planning for a very long time. And there is no one I have been more looking forward to seeing podcast with your own show. What has that transition been like for you? Because
you're so supportive. I appreciate it.
Of course, you've been a frequent guest on AG. Like now you have your own. You got your own shop. How are we feeling?
Yeah, it's really fun. I do enjoy it. I think it's so much nicer. It's such a great way of communicating what you really think about something and being able to make the jokes that I want to make throughout. You know, because I would do it. You saw how I used to do it, like on the stories, like stop, start. And that just takes a little bit more effort. And then Instagram just eats them. Like they just time out and they disappear and they go away and they're not organized. So it's hard for somebody, like if you started binging, you know, OC or something and you wanted to know what funny recaps could you watch, you will never find mine. You just won't. They're buried in stories somewhere. So this is definitely a more real way of recapping. And I like that, but it's also quite solitary. Don't you find it?
It is extremely solitary.
You know, and that's why I think men like it so much. They just get to sit and hear themselves talk. But I'm used to like posting a story and then a ton of people write me back about that and we laugh and giggle and then I say something else. But I'm really just in a cone of silence, just talking. And then I hope that people like the episode. I don't always hear, you know.
Well, that's the other part of it, is that so often podcasting is extremely solitary, even if you have a guest, because if you're an indie podcaster, it's like the booking, the figuring out what the fuck you're maybe going to talk about or not, the editing, which takes hours, the
forever.
Show notes, everything else, promotion, trying to figure out how to monetize, all of that. And it's sort of like retail law where people don't typically share when they've had a good experience in a store, but they always seem to find the manager when they do not. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're doing this solitary thing and then often you're just surrounded by negative feedback, and that can be really difficult. So I would encourage that, this isn't specific to Andy's Girls, although I always appreciate it, that, you know, if you are listening to BBDB's podcast and or social, like, send encouraging notes, leave literal 5-star reviews. I know some people think that's a good place to yell at me because I'm Jewish, but like other ideas.
Like, focusing on the podcast at hand.
Right. Like, maybe let's focus on, and if you have constructive feedback, I mean, you could potentially reach out to someone or just, you know, attempt to, for a free show, podcasts are free.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Find ways to support creators who you appreciate, because it is solitary and it can be really defeating at times. And so I encourage folks to subscribe to your podcast, to listen to it, and to hopefully, you know, send encouraging words of wisdom and hopefully appreciation, because that really, really goes a very, very long way, especially on days when it's kind of tough, you know?
I know it is, because I mean, I think my personality is like, if I have something to say, I could talk about it for 3 hours or whatever, but there are times when I'm like, have I said everything that I could possibly say on this earth? You know, what could I mean? I could recap Beverly Hills, but does anybody really want me to? You know, and then I will like go and look at reviews or something and say, all right, this is, you know, this is fun. I have a good time. Other people have a good time. Let's keep doing it. But it was definitely more casual, you know, on the Instagram stories and that immediate conversation that it would lead to. Just such a different setting doing it this way. But I do enjoy it. It's fun. You know, it's great.
And, you know, I get messages from people now and again who are like, I want to start a podcast. What do I do? And the number one thing I always say is, which I've given you this advice too, like, if you're in New York, if you're a New York based person, go to BNH Audio in Hell's Kitchen and just ask a lot of questions. You don't necessarily need to get equipment from them, but I have always had excellent experiences doing that. But just go to any local like tech store in your area, ideally one that has good reviews for people just getting information. And the folks who work at audio stores are, at least at B&H, I've had negative experiences at another place. But B&H, I've been to many dozens of times and have always had an incredible, incredible experience. And I just ask questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, how do I improve this thing? Because I've been through so many generations of audio. And I think the number one thing is to make sure you have some foundation that seems like okay, that you can build upon, but also do the thing that you talk about, what you want to talk about. Make sure that you're doing the thing that you enjoy doing, because it's going to get really tough to want to continue it in a year or two or weeks or days when things start to get complicated. So you want to be able to feel like, at least I get to do this thing that I really like. That's what's going to carry you over. That's what's going to keep people, like Andy's Girls has been around for 7 years. Like that is what keeps me moving forward, is like, I genuinely am interested in these women. I'm so thankful to have made great friends like you. Like, these conversations are what I treasure, and talking to AGs, like, I wasn't expecting to have this conversation at the start of the episode, but like, maybe this is, you know, we're leading into Women's History Appreciation Month. And like, maybe this is a great opportunity to thank you and the many women And of course, other folks too, but especially the many women who encompass, I think, a lot of the foundation of Andy's Girls. And I think it's important when we are talking about women's stories to make sure that we are hopefully listening to and amplifying women, because
yeah,
there is a way to assume that because these shows are about women, that you're sort of covering the gamut. But what's actually incredibly important is to focus on who you are listening to drive the conversation. And unfortunately, women in the Bravo sphere, women creators, are not given the opportunity that men are. And so the next time Watch What Happens says, who do you want to bartend or, like, God forbid, be a guest? Think of, I'm not speaking of myself, think of women content creators. Think of, look at where you're getting your storytelling from, because Bravo, who I love, they tell women's stories, but they often rely on a male lens and a male gaze in how those women's stories are told. So just things to think about, things to kind of chew on as we approach Women's History Appreciation History Women's Month.
Yeah, and that's so true. Men in the Bravo sphere are seen as like a magical dancing frog. Like, oh my God, that frog is dancing. Yeah, that man's watching Bravo. That's so novel and interesting that immediately, like, don't pass go, collect $200, like, chutes and ladders. Phew! When, you know, we're really talking about shows about women, and women creators are, you know, not given the same, like, novel kind of fandom. It's very interesting.
And also criticized at a level that is much stronger and often harsher. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like the sense of self-loathing or it's our own inherent, like, women's voices, quite literally the sound of a woman's voice, both her opinion and the sound that you are listening to, are dragged so forcefully and so harshly in a way that just continues this cycle that minimizes women, which is incredibly unfortunate, because I think the whole, you know, the majority of Andy's Girls is a majority women audience.
Yeah, I think I checked mine the other day. It was like 98% women.
Jesus.
I was like, that's where we thrive, baby. I got no one. I mean, I've got some men that I've been talking to for years and years and years, you know, as part of the following the fan base. But I'm saying straight men as a whole, I don't think I've ever seen a straight man follow me. So, for long anyway.
Well, if they do, send them my way.
I sure will.
Anybody's uncle or stepdad, former stepdad, I guess. That doesn't really work out otherwise. Unless they're Mauricio, I guess. He's seemingly always available.
Lord.
Listen, enough of the monologue and about the ladies. Let's talk about
some of the
women.
There'll never be enough ladies talk, but fine, we'll move on.
We have to talk about Beverly Hills and an episode that many of us have been thinking about and praying for a very long time. It finally arrived tonight. Did it give you what you were hoping for? And that can be a good thing or not. How did it land for you, BBDB?
I mean, my major takeaway after I finished watching it was that was really a bookend to, like, the Erica Jane comeback story of the season. And it really is still so Kyle Click driven that it's like we end on her white party about her relationship with her friend getting a $50,000 stage put up so she can do her first show in 4 years. And so my takeaway was, you know, it was supposed to be this neatly packaged little Kyle and Co. thing. And then, you know, for me, Erica Jane shot herself in the foot per usual throughout the season because she can't let go of the earrings. She can't apologize to victims and she can't take herself out of her own mindset of worrying about herself and no one else.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
However, I think a lot of this is informed by whether or not a person has seen Housewife
and the Hustler. It doesn't matter. Potato. Someone literally spent 2 seconds naming that, so don't give it too much credit.
As a Sarah with an H, you would think I would be focused more on where that representation is. But so I know that colors for many people and makes us kind of reflect anew on what many of us have felt has been genuine, substantial growth on Erica's part, or at least a genuinely entertaining season for her that's been, by many accounts, a lot lighter. Not taking away from that, but I was watching the scene of Kyle and Erica, and I couldn't help but think, and at one point say aloud, I'm so glad that Erica is the one having this conversation with her right now. Like, yeah. It just felt like Erica, the manner, we know how Erica communicates. She, like, gets to the point of the matter really quickly, and she's concise in a way that can sometimes feel cutting, which is separate from her, like, intending.
That was good, by the way. I really enjoyed that scene,
yeah,
of their back and forth. And I liked the advice that Erica gave, you know?
Yeah, I think it was solid. And I think it was, speaking of full circle moments, a moment to kind of connect between Erica and Kyle about just the feeling of, like, how do I get through this? And it's not similar situations, but with Erica, there's a sense of understanding of, like, okay, your husband told you everything was all right. I know how that feels when you are seemingly being misled under the guise of, like, don't worry about it. Don't stress mm-hmm. out. Don't ask any questions. Everything's okay. To see the connection between them in that way gave me a lot of hope for what next season is going to look like. It felt like they were really connected, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean, if Kyle stays on the show, because she's alluded this season to wanting to be done, but if she stays on, I mean, there's a lot, most of the women are divorced women. So there's plenty of people there to support her in this, if that's the direction it goes, which I personally think that's the direction that it seems like she is going in. So
what direction? That she's staying?
That that they are done.
Well, I mean, we're going to kind of jump around a little bit here. Welcome to Andy's Girls. But the end of the episode, I mean, I was emotional.
It was very sad. When Portia started crying, I was crying. Yeah. It was terrible.
It was the look in those kids' eyes. And we have watched Portia Umansky grow up. We saw her in her goddamn crib. Mm-hmm. Like, this cute, curly-haired little bambino, this little baby, this toddler. We have watched her grow up into a high schooler, like, become independent, have thoughts and feels and opinions, her bat mitzvah, everything else. And to see her break down in that moment and to watch the faces of her siblings also be connected to the grief of what's going on was very moving.
It was.
And that last confessional with Kyle, who said, you know, there's a big chance that we're not going to end up mm-hmm. together, which is, like, huge moment number one, to acknowledge that and say that out loud and to understand what our reactions are going to be. And also, things happened that made me lose my trust.
Oh, yes.
That I wasn't able to recover from.
It finally came out. I know.
What do you think that's
for a 27 year marriage? To me, in my opinion, it can only mean that he either cheated or got really close to it, and either way, she can't get over it.
You know what? Mauricio seems to love that goddamn Instagram. And I don't know about you, but if I was the husband in the spotlight on reality TV, I would be extremely conservative with my boundaries on those DMs.
Same.
I don't know, because people screenshot you. Someone message you saying, Mo, I think you look really hot. I don't think you should respond to that. I don't think you should like it. I don't think you should be worried about, uh-oh, maybe that person's going to dislike me, or I'm doing a good. I think that what matters when it comes to, like, a show built around potentially your marriage is to make sure that you are being faithful to your wife in how you communicate online versus IRL. Now, this is me saying that because I genuinely do think somehow social media is related to this. I just feel like he's very online and he seems to be a naturally flirty, charismatic guy. But there have been rumors for so many years, and that maybe he's, you know, cheated and And that became a part of conversation this season as well, or this season or last season, of like, would you leave your spouse if they, that was the season in Vegas. Like if they, if you found out that they were cheating, it feels like it's connected to fidelity, mm-hmm. to infidelity.
It does.
In some way.
It does. And I definitely could see him being online. And I know that you're saying you wouldn't do it and that would, you know, your marriage would be a priority, but he's a guy though. And he's a guy he's on two TV shows and you know what I mean? He goes out, he likes to have a good time, he likes to party, he goes on all these like boondoggles left and right. I could see it happening.
It's also easy for me to say that because I don't work in his industry. Mm-hmm. And a person could potentially make the argument that like a part of maybe getting leads is just being friendly chatty and open.
Yeah.
And that can be misinterpreted, but also how do you draw the line? I assume you do that in conversation with your wife. I don't know that that has happened.
I don't know. I don't know either, but I still got the feeling this season. That was interesting to hear too, because this whole season, it seemed like she was the one that's kind of done, you know, with him, had the ick a few times in the last episode. And he seemed to be that golden retriever energy of like, we're fine. We can work it out. It's fine, right? We're okay. And so in my mind, I was thinking that she's just tired of the same old from him and not having her needs met. And she's reached a point of no longer wanting to deal with that, which is what she was saying to us. And so then for that to hit at the last episode, I just saw things a little bit differently. That maybe, you know, he wanted to keep the like good wife that he had back home. And if he did cheat, then he's like, it was one time. Don't you worry about it. Maybe she can't get over it. And so it made me look back at things differently.
I wonder what other way, I'm just thinking it's related to either infidelity or, you know, which doesn't need to be physical. It can be emotional.
Absolutely.
Or just behaving in a way that did not make Kyle feel comfortable, mm-hmm. and maybe feel respected. Is it possible there's something else at play here?
Always. I mean, it's Mauricio and Kyle. We have no idea what's going on, especially not with Kyle stuff, you know? It's obviously it's emotional for her and her family, and that feels very real. But I think she and Mauricio have a very strong 27-year-long partnership, and they're still probably being very careful about what they say and how they say it.
The fact that she said there's a big chance that we might not end up together, I know that might be like Captain Obvious to some people, but I genuinely was surprised that she said it.
I really wasn't. I was waiting for her to get there. It just took the whole season, which I kind of thought that it would.
How do you think that the reunion is going to go for her?
Well, you know, it depends on if Andy is really going to ask her some direct questions and if, you know, Sutton and others are going to call her out on some behavior that she showed in the confessionals that really was the opposite of how she was interacting with them on camera. And some behind-the-scenes stuff of, you know, egging on Anne Marie, 8.5 Anne, and whispering to her. Just that whole thing. She got away with that scot-free. Nobody ever put that together. But if you're watching the show, you see it from the jump, that was sort of her pulling the strings.
What do you think is going on with Kyle and Dorit?
I think Dorit was obviously just, you know, jealous of or feel, you know, because she got that way with LVP. Do you remember that back in the day? When Lisa Vanderpump distanced herself or something.
Teddy? When she became closer with Teddy?
Yeah. And so Dorit's kind of like that, you know? And I just think that's a turnoff for Kyle. She seems to not enjoy that. She seemed very irritated with her several times throughout the season. You know, riding in the limo, and she kept bringing it up like, I guess I have to get your name tattooed on me to get some attention. Mm. And Kyle's like, what? Stop it. So she just isn't. And she said Dorit offended her, asked her too many questions a couple different times, didn't want things on camera. So I think they're having an issue. And I think rightly so, because it's none of your beeswax, Dorit. She doesn't need to tell you everything about her marriage.
And yet Kyle's priority is in, you know, focusing on her friendships with her, you know, circle of friends. So why wouldn't Dorit think that it would be appropriate to ask questions, not just because of their friendship, but because of what the fuck they're supposed to be doing on this show?
Yeah. I mean, but Kyle said to her, like, you know, we've always been like couples friends. So to me, that's different. Like, if she's been one-on-one friends with people for a long time, that's different than the only way I've ever known you is, like, we always hang out as couples. So maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
How does that connect with this, like, night before reunion text that Dorit received where she feels like Kyle was trying to silence her?
I mean, strong words per usual from Dorit. And I feel like, didn't that leak a couple of months back and I just, like, blocked it out of my mind?
Did it?
I don't know. Didn't it? I'll have to check. But
it might have.
When I saw it, I was like, this looks so familiar to me. Either we've had a similar storyline in the past where somebody's like, silence is golden, or I don't know, maybe I'm just hallucinating tonight. But either way, it just was odd. But it's what's always happened. There's that famous reunion where Rinna tapped Dorit on the knee to get her to stop asking Erica questions. To me, Dorit has always been, you know, out of the crew of Mean Girls, the one that just was always shushed and pushed aside and told to just fall in line.
Well, I mean, I don't know what this says about me, but I'm watching the finale thinking, I don't think I'm ready for Dorit to go. I think that her job, aside from Anna Marie, her job is most in jeopardy.
For sure.
Yeah, I could see the realm of possibility of her being gone or being a friend of. I personally would be completely fine if she was a friend of. I don't understand what's happening with her and PK. I like don't get it. Same. I honestly didn't think it was as serious as the finale led us to believe it is, and that is confusing to me.
I don't think she has a lot of storylines right now. I mean, the irony is, she's got a ton of storylines. She's just not talking about them. She's instead talking about PK traveling and this, you know, ongoing PTSD from the multiple robberies. But she didn't, I mean, my last episode that I recapped, I timed it and she came on at 37 minutes in. And I was like, you're below the fold, sweetie. Like, that's danger zone. You're not even in the first more than half of the episode. But there's not a lot of there right now, other than like some Coke commercials and whatnot. She could turn that around. She could get into it, you know, but she's not going to, more than likely. So, but I did think it was pretty serious that he was gone for 39 days. I would bristle at that, a father of small children leaving her solo for that long.
Yeah. And in one of her confessionals, she's talking about the fact that, like, I'm going to fuck this up. But something along the lines of, like, he says he wants to improve. He says he wants to, like, work on himself or us, but his actions don't show
it. Yep, she just said that. His words, but not his actions. Yep.
That's a pretty strong rebuke. Like, I know that people might feel like that's just, again, seemingly obvious, but I think that's a very significant rupture.
Yeah, she has said some very cutting things about him this season, but then they usually giggle it off. So I never know with her what's a real ultimatum and what's a real line in the sand and what are you just trying to ratchet up to keep us dangling.
Do you think that they're approaching some sort of...
No, for some reason I can't see her ever leaving him. Isn't that weird? It's just in my mind the way she is with him.
I just think there's so much love there. But I also think with these goddamn men, at a certain point, it's like shit or get off the pot. But then they're like constipated and it's like, oh, okay, you don't need to shit. Okay, no problem. Like they're just so used to having their wives, their partners, or their universes operate around them. And their wives have come to a point of feeling like, I'm not going to rotate around you anymore. Mm-hmm. So what happens if this person who you have supported, who's been the financial provider, the caregiver, what if they're not giving you what you need to provide and care for yourself? Like, how do you deal with that if PK makes the step of saying he wants to change and then doesn't? Like, genuinely, literally, what does a person do with that?
I'm going to be really honest with you. I think, especially for PK and Dorit, a lot of it would come down to financial. Like, what does that mean to split up? They have a lot of debt right now. It's like still over $1 million to the IRS, I believe. And then state taxes and all kinds of other stuff. So I'm sure that weighs on them. But again, this is the real stuff that they don't talk about and that we don't see. They're just like, pop it, you're gone for 39 days. What's he doing? What's going on? Why has he got to be over there that much? Tell us about the financial woes. Like, we got people on other franchises getting into it like nitty gritty of things, but we're just like pretend that that didn't happen, you know, with Dorit and PK.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
I assumed he was there to film the reality show that he's been working on, but I could be 100% wrong.
Well, that's still a job though. That's still work, you know? It's like you got a reality show. Because I think he wasn't doing like a UK version of The Apprentice type deal.
Yeah, I think it was like some sort of real estate thing. I thought that Mo was involved in some capacity.
I don't know. Maybe he does like a guest spot or whatever, you know?
It's different to me if it's a planned TV shoot. Maybe I one agree. That runs long versus business meetings. Like if he is not allowed to mention that it's a TV show, or they have chosen not to mention it, I don't know why you would make that choice to self-produce in that way. It does feel like there's been guidance, but like it would be clarifying for me as a viewer if it's like the shoot is running late, but it feels like the reason they can't say that is because it's not PK the businessman who also does stuff with Boy George. Then it's like PK is now a reality TV star and they don't want to break that bubble. But we're focusing a lot of their marital strife on the fact that he's not present physically mm-hmm. in the same country. And it's a different circumstance. The end result is still he's not there, but it's a different circumstance if it's like he's working on a TV show. She knows how TV productions work, especially for reality TV. And sometimes things, plans, filming changes versus he's just there, not just, but like sort of, he's there to like try to get leads and have business meetings and like go to hotels for a little turtle time and to try to, you know, make some sort of business collab opportunity happen. That to me is more flexible than signing a contract to film TV.
Yeah, I mean, I get flashbacks of like watching different reality shows where like the men just start disappearing and like chasing that paper. And so to me, when he's not coming home and he's like, it's business and my own business, I'm imagining that right there, that he's like stressed out trying to make business stuff happen. If it's a pre-planned thing and he was supposed to be gone for 38 days and instead he's gone for 39, that would be great to know. We have no idea.
The thing that I just don't understand, and I think I understand it less having seen the finale, is twofold. Why isn't Mauricio at the reunion? And now, sincerely, why isn't PK there as well? Like, I get Kathy goes on the reunion. She's got hot takes, but we can have Kathy there and also have this man whose life we have been following and are invested in for 13 seasons. It just doesn't make sense. And watching the finale, which I really was genuinely surprised with some of the energy between Dorit and PK. I just didn't know it was that serious. I obviously watched the entire season. There was just something about the energy in the finale that I was surprised by. He's been to the reunions before. My guess is he's available. When you tell him it's a TV show, I think he's going to show up, maybe more than dinner. You know, like maybe the sit down is going to happen where they get to have couples night with a set and a camera crew in place. Like, it really confounds me that neither of them are there. Although you couldn't have PK there, but not Mauricio. So maybe it comes down to that.
Maybe. I mean, one of my followers said something to me today that kind of stuck out to me. And she was like, it's so odd that because that clip came up of his show. What's it called again?
Oh, I always call it like Selling Sunset, but like Coke Zero. You know, it's like it's not the real thing. It's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not the real, it's like, apologies to Dr. Pepper, but it's giving me a little Dr. Pepper energy, which I know is a soda a lot of people
enjoy. Loved it.
It's just a specific.
I loved it back in the
day. It's a specific taste. It's no Diet Sunkist. Who are we kidding?
Please, I wouldn't touch that. But he was like explaining in a 15-second clip everything that happened between him and Kyle. I'm sure you saw that today. It was like, you know, your mother, and she came to me and she was like, I need some space and you can date whoever you want to date and I'll date whoever I want to date. And those are the rules. I'm like that right there. That's the summary of everything that we've been waiting for so long. And he said it so quickly and he just got it out of the way. And I'm like, well, that's going to pull people to watch his show. Of like, he gets to stuff. He's addressing this in very plain King's English and it's done and the box is checked. And I'm like, did they do that? This my follower of mine is like, what if that was part of the plan, is that she drags it along on this show? They try to get most of the eyeballs on the other show. And then, you know, she makes appearances or whatever on the other show. And this is all just to, like, boost his stuff.
I'm shaking my head no. I do not feel like that would happen because Kyle knows that her bread is primarily buttered with Bravo. It does make me feel like there should have been some sort of, like, Godfather, Soprano-style meeting of the four families. Except now there's two where, like, Bravo and Netflix try to just fucking battle this out. Because I don't know what his deal was. I don't know if he decided to withhold it. I don't know if it's just a timeline situation.
It might be, but it was just really
the
odd.
Netflix show filmed a little bit later on than Beverly Hills.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, somebody out there knows the timeline and they'll tell us. We'll find out somewhere in the feed, but it was so weird to see him just come on in a 15-second clip and address everything. And meanwhile, this whole season, we've been drug along. But
yeah, and Kyle said on Watch What Happens immediately following Miami on tonight's live Watch What Happens with Kiki, who, by the way, was a fucking superstar and proved why many of us are hoping, really, really hoping she gets to hold a mojito next season. She was fantastic on Watch What Happens on a very important finale night, mind you. But Kyle said that, like, yeah, Andy said a lot of people are asking why Mauricio decided to reveal this information on his show with some level of, like, consternation, echoing that fans had some level of consternation. And Kyle's reaction was, like, essentially, like, okay, well, he sort of took things out of context, and that's not entirely what I said.
See, and that's what bothered me about that clip. And I talked to a couple followers about that. It's like, she's not there. He's saying, your mom came in, and she said this, and she said that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's nice and succinct. Also, weird that Kyle's not there.
Very weird that Kyle isn't there. Good point.
Like, why is he saying, girls, this is pretty much what happened, but the person, like, he's speaking for her, saying, this is what she said. She said to me, I need space. And she said to me, you go date and I'll go date. I didn't like that much, but it was nice to hear it said quickly and succinctly. But I was like, that's weird to speak for her.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a part of the pattern of their relationship, is like Mauricio's lived reality is not consistent with Kyle's. I mean, I know that this is maybe a nothing burger, but she literally had a conversation with him. We saw it in a flashback on this episode about, you know, I'm so excited. I went to SoFi. And obviously a part of the agreement is like, she's going to talk about it on the episode. You would think he would be actively listening as like a business person and also a man who's separating from his wife, that we would maybe try to listen to her now and again when she's chatting and she's saying how excited she is and like that the space is going to be so beautiful and XYZ. And then comes to the night of the event and he's telling folks that it's being held in the parking lot because he wasn't listening to his wife.
It's like a tailgate.
Yeah, I don't see Kyle throwing a tailgate white party. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm sure the SoFi parking lot genuinely could be like transformed, but like you're not asking people, I don't even know where it's located, but you're not asking people to drive to a stadium on a night where there isn't a game to go to some beautiful tent outside. You're going to be there. Or wouldn't you ask her? Or maybe you know you can't because you weren't listening to her when she told you the specifics. He didn't even enter with her.
I know. How sad was that? That she's like, this party is really about like my family and our marriage. And he just comes in completely separately. That spoke volumes. And she was up with the girls getting glam. And then he's, you know, getting food and giggling when she's actually. So she didn't even text him and saying like, hey, we'll be down in 3 minutes. Make sure you greet us and like yell everybody, you know, welcome Kyle and the girls.
You know, it feels like this episode was somewhat of a fable. I mean, speaking of like telling women's stories and talking about it through a specific lens, we have Kyle figuring out what she needs in her life and what it means to pursue an independent life. We see Dorit, who is struggling in her current one and does not feel supported and now feels probably particularly insulted that this man is like understanding her pain and her needs and just refusing or is incapable of delivering. And then we have Sutton and Porter, and Sutton having that emotional conversation with her daughter where she's like, listen, don't make the same mistakes that I did. Like, keep your independence. Focus on the things that bring you joy. Do not become a part of a life in which you are not at the center, which I think is something that many women, it's like we just need to hear it over and over again. And I remember being in a conversation with my dad. I wrote about this for the Daily Beast when I was writing about a golf show on Netflix that my dad gave me advice. I forget if it was in high school or college at the moment that we're talking, but we were driving through Providence and he said, you know, there are two things that you need to do. One is make sure that you, and he was a divorce lawyer at points, you know, he's a civil litigator, and make sure that you are making your own money so you never depend on a man. And this is someone who litigated any number of acrimonious divorces. Mm-hmm. And two, learn to play golf because so much business happens on the golf course. Do not limit yourself, especially when you're in male-dominated fields. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not listen to the latter, although every now and again, I genuinely think, like, I actually kind of want to take a golf lesson. But I think what Porter is understanding, it's a difficult lesson to have to learn this through your parents' divorce. But what she's seeing in her mom, I think, is so important. And we can focus on the $68,000 earrings, which are gorgeous, but also what her mom is telling her is like, this life might look great and we have a lot of privilege, extreme privilege, but also you need to focus on yourself. Like, you need to create your own safety net. And no amount of money, by the way, is going to protect Porter from marriages that might not give her what she deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was a very powerful thing. That was a very powerful moment. I thought it was really nice, you know, that Sutton is spending time with her daughter and making these messages, life lessons, very clear to her, you know, and saying how hard it was and how much she struggled when the father said he was leaving. And, you know, now he's leaving the country, and that's a big thing for the entire family to have to deal with. And it's a big lifestyle change for her son, her minor son, to now be 100% with her, you know, until he's graduated from high school.
And I know that there's been like some LOLs, and I'm not casting aspersion on them, of like Sutton being like, what am I going to do? And I have to renegotiate, you know, child support or whatever.
That's a big deal, though. My God, to have to go to court and do all of that. It's not fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's paperwork. No one's saying that she's like going on the dole when she's getting $200,000 right now just to like keep doing.
I thought it was 300.
might be. I mean, you know, at a certain point, the K is like 1, 3, 7. This is Play-Doh money. We're doing Monopoly. But that's not it. It's just the idea of Sutton needing to adjust. And if we have seen anything of Sutton, she gets a little anxious and reactive when things happen to her that she was not prepared to receive. Mm-hmm. And I think this is because it's so emotional. It's complicated. I didn't realize that she and Christian had lived so close.
I didn't know that either. And I was like, well, that's a very big deal because you know that you just have someone down the street who can come help you.
Yeah. And I don't know the ins and outs of the Sutton concept, like financially, but it is a very big deal that it survived COVID. You know, she's in, I think, West Hollywood in a very, very expensive area.
Yeah. If I go out there anytime soon, I will go in there and check it out because I want to understand what she sells and what she does because a follower of mine is like a fashionista person and was telling me that it's like cyclical fashion and they focus really hard on like, you know, recycling things. And so I'm like, is it a curated, you know, fashion throughout time thing? I don't really know. So I want to check it out.
She's talked about that on Jeff Lewis Live. She also was working on a collection with Cynthia Bailey because they're pretty close friends. So it's like she sells different things, including this line where they're using, oh God, I forget. It's something about, listen to Jeff Lewis Live at the end of the day. I forget the details. I'm like, I don't know. But I think there are also a variety of price points there too. And I have to shout out Avi who gave me 2 Sutton mugs.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, he's a delight. And he was also he is just so fun. She can never, ever stop working.
They have the funniest back and forth. I enjoy his look into the camera occasionally. I like it. It's a very funny dynamic.
Can I ask you a question?
Always.
What do you think about that Brandy, quote unquote, caught on mic moment at the start of Erica's show?
Brandy caught on mic.
Did I say Brandy? No, I meant Denise.
Oh.
You guys, I have recorded 12 episodes.
No, and the thing is, I'm so high that I was like, I totally missed that Brandy was there.
You know what? And that happened during I did a full reading of the Sandoval New York Times piece for Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, it was like the word was like restaurant, and I accidentally said hospital. I think my brain was like on fire.
Well, one can lead you to the other. Yeah.
quite literally, and sometimes it does when you have a taco. But yeah, what did you think? That is such a subconscious something that I did not say Denise and I said Brandy.
It is.
So like I don't even know what to say about that. But continuing on, what did you think about that quote unquote hot mic moment?
I mean, I loved it. That's just me though. What did you think?
I thought it was kind of a Franken edit.
Really?
Like we didn't see her face. The clips that they used of her allegedly saying it at that point were odd. It was giving me Cynthia Bailey energy when she was allegedly shit talking NeNe and knowing about Kenya, which she has said repeatedly was a manufactured edit by production that really upset her and obviously damaged her relationship with NeNe. There was something about it where I was like, I'm sure she said it made me question when she actually said it and to whom, because the audio was so muffled that something felt off.
See, I just love it when a fourth wall comes down or they give us a leak of audio of any kind. So it's always exciting.
True.
But yeah, I hadn't had time to really like mull it over. Like, would they plot this? Where's this from? Show me the receipts.
I think sometimes they just do people dirty.
Oh, they do all the time.
Especially those who aren't like full time. It's like this person is like barely on the show. Don't you want her to continue to cameo or do you feel like she will participate in the show regardless of whether or not you fuck with her?
That's probably what it is. Yeah. But then earlier in the episode too, you know, when Garcelle's getting her glam done and she said, yeah, Denise, you know, made a dig about Erica saying, I didn't know you could do that lip sync. You know, for a Vegas residency. It's funny too.
A big part of the episode and of Watch What Happens seemed to focus on this people exclusive.
So much energy on that.
So much energy seemingly dropping without Kyle and Mauricio's consent. Mauricio being focused on who leaked the story is interesting to me because I would feel very paranoid if I was him about like, who is aware of our lives? And is it just a whisper of like so-and-so talking to so-and-so, talking to so-and-so, talking to so-and-so? Or is it someone they're close to who maybe also has friendly relationships with media? That would drive me up a wall if I was
him. Well, I find that whole thing really confusing because People Magazine is usually like a confirmation. Something is pretty legitimate. So it's weird that they would run that without confirmation from one of the two people directly involved. So their confidence level to run it as a this has happened for sure means to me that it would have to be somebody extremely close to them. And then it's still weird that they would run it and risk burning bridges with the two of those people. So I'm like, is that real that you didn't know who leaked it or did you guys leak it? It's just odd.
I genuinely don't think that either of them leaked it. And I think Kyle talking about the impact of her kids not being aware of
that's true. I wouldn't think that they would do that. Yeah.
I really don't think that that's one of those things where I'm like, it's not even a question to me. And I also think the fact that I believe that Mauricio was probably obsessed with finding out who did it. I really do not think that came from them. But that also makes me sort of question the dynamics because typically, you know, people, the team at People, it's several people, have pretty friendly, chummy relationships with Bravo Lebs and other celebs. Obviously, some of them are more positive than others, but it's usually some sort of like quid pro quo kind of deal of I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. So the fact that they actually, God forbid, had like real information that they were putting out without the A-OK from Kyle and Mo, I know that some people listening to this might be like, but they don't need that. They can run a story. True, but also there are other dynamics at play at a publication at People that don't exist or it exists in a different way at other outlets. And for that to happen in that capacity, seemingly without any input from Kyle or Mo is surprising to me. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it, you know, what a weird like finale episode. I can't think of another episode where it's been like that, where they end it kind of almost a little bit over midway and then it just focuses on one person for that last chunk.
I know it's happened recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I can't think in my head, but I know that it has.
You'll yell it out. It'll come back to you while we're talking.
It'll come to me, you know, while I'm walking the Champs-Élysées. Mm-hmm. I'm not walking the Champs-Élysées, but while I'm walking in Marais at some point this weekend. Yeah, the energy was, it was like a classic Housewives episode, noting that some of us felt fairly tense about what it was that we were actually going to watch. And also I was thinking like, is it going to be enough? Because you motherfuckers should have given us a full hour of this shit, not the second half. But all of that being said, I was kind of overwhelmed with the energy. I was like it felt big.
It did.
And it felt sad in a way that was not that it was tough to watch, because I don't think it wasn't a tough watch for me personally. It was emotional.
Now, how did you like the levity, the comic relief that Rob brought to it when he gave his opinion of who reached out to People?
I was like, Crystal,
I yelled
while you're trying to get him to shut the fuck up, but let this hand continue to talk. Because he knows. How to get that diamond secured for next season and let him do it.
No, he just had a really solid theory. And she's like, don't worry about him. He's just, you know, just the movie director talking. And he's just coming up with ideas.
Also, does production hate Crystal? Because in the like, not B-roll, but kind of at the end of the episode when they're talking about her brother has a girlfriend living in Thailand, maybe I forgot this, but they go to footage of a scene of Crystal and her brother and their mom at dinner. How do we have multiple conversations referencing Crystal and her mom's relationship and some tension with how her brother is treated and his significant others and a control thing and that dynamic and him trying to find his own independent life? How do you have those conversations and not include a dinner with the mom.
I know. And I thought we were going to see that. I thought we were going to see that because at one point they were hanging out and she was like, yeah, mom's on her way or something. And I was like, oh, we're going to get to see her mother. And we never did. So I don't know. That was odd. Because that was the crux of it, was that her and her mom, you know, were so focused on him and concerned with him. And we never had a scene with the family. So I don't know. Choices were made to sell us Coke instead.
And also, the Anna Marie of it all, it just felt so strange to see moments of her interacting with Marcellus, because we have seen so little of him. And it just kind of occurred to me, and even watching their like little moment of like having fun, going into the party together, I'm thinking to myself, we have seen this man maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Like we really, aside from the sugary cereal and kids moment, really truly haven't seen him. We really haven't seen in-depth conversations of like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened to me on the trip, or oh my God, esophagus stuff. Like it feels, I don't know if it was strategic. It feels relatively severe to not really include it. I'm not complaining necessarily.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm good with it.
I'm just saying that there was like a – it's just odd that this person joins the show and then like we don't really get anything.
Well, I think they realized they made a mistake. I think they realized pretty early on they made a mistake. We didn't even see her till like episode 4 or 5, I think.
I think she said that happened because she was cast mid-season.
Well, you know what? Okay, then. That's an issue,
yeah,
too.
Maybe don't do that again. Maybe don't do that again.
And so then, you know, at the very last episode, to have her really not, she barely was on there. She was barely, I forgot you were there, Anne Marie. And that's, I'm fine with that as well. So I think they just realized, oopsies. Sorry, Mulligan. Don't hold it against us, guys. Not as bad as Peggy.
Oh, no, no one could ever be. I wonder what's going to happen with her at the reunion. Like the trailer, I was into the trailer. Also, the set and their outfits on camera looked gorgeous.
Crystal's like, dress.
Yes.
Crystal's dress is like a piece of art. And you know what? It, when you see it up close, because I don't know how it got on my feed, but her dress itself had its own like Instagram post. And the designer, they showed like the bead work on it. It was stunning. Amazing, you know?
Well, I have to say, Garcelle's dress on camera,
oh, gorgeous.
I thought was gorgeous. Yeah. Like, honestly, the cast in those, you know, just like the regular production photos of them just like standing those moments, it didn't feel like a moment. But then when I saw the trailer and it's like this fluid moving background similar to Orange County, mm-hmm. It felt dynamic, it felt expensive,
yeah.
To see the ways that their outfits and the colors that they were wearing and the textures, it really felt elevated.
It did
in a way that I was like, oh, this is going to be fun to watch just truly based on the visual alone.
Mm-hmm. And then how funny that Salt Lake City had like the Pirates of Penzance, you know what I'm saying? Like Orange County, elevated, tasteful, undulating colors background.
Undulating.
Now we have, you know, Beverly Hills, amazing. And then we got a pirate ship. It's just weird.
I mean, I think it adds to the fun of it that they were
on a shipwreck.
It does,
but it's like these are obviously like two different daddies, like different production companies were involved here. Like these circle the thing that has nothing to do with the others. Yeah.
Honestly, keep whoever designed that because I
just yeah.
know what they do. Now.
I mean, it's fun. It really is fun. It's just it doesn't go. It's so odd, but we embrace it.
I can't believe we're at this point in history. I do feel a little melancholy about where we find ourselves.
Well, you know, if we've learned anything from watching Kyle, it's that she feels extreme pressure for what the outside world is projecting onto her. And I'm yelling at the TV, like, people are just dramatic online, Kyle. You have to let it go. If two penguins at a zoo break up, you know, the world falls apart. People project. It's okay. And so what we'll do is we'll say we're so happy for Kyle and what comes ahead. We're so thrilled for her in this new chapter and independent portion of her life. And she can't let these, you know, thoughts of strangers keep haunting her, because I feel like she still is kind of holding back. Whether it's for a storyline to drag out or for feelings of those around her.
I mean, I don't think she wants to share details. And now she's really in a position where it's like, okay, we talked around a lot of the sister stuff for a while, but like, we really do need to dig into this more and have a real understanding. And you cannot, I mean, you can, but like, to be afraid maybe of talking about her kid's dad in this way. I mean, I assume that's a huge part of this too, but like, babe, no one ever said this was going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
No one did. And other people on that show have had to discuss a lot of stuff that made them uncomfortable that they didn't want to talk about. So it's easier said than done, but like, now's the time to do it.
No, I agree. She's just got to learn to do it. Now, something that stood out to me too, what did you think that Camille was there too at the white party?
Oh, I think Camille's always going to be at a like a big event like that.
Really? Because it seems like she and Kyle might be on the outs every now and then, but I was glad to see her included.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, I was happy to see her there. I also wasn't surprised to see her there. I think it's just like one of those things of like, it's a finale event, you know, who's an OG who can attend? Were Kathy and Kim there?
I did not see Kathy or Kim, which was weird. The guest list was odd.
Huh. I mean, Cynthia Bailey was mm-hmm. there. Jeff Lewis was there talking about the threading in his jaw.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what they were talking about?
Yeah, it's sad that I knew the specifics. But when he started talking, I was like, I know exactly what he's talking about because I'm a chump. I listen to, I watch Jeff Lewis live every day on the app.
Gotcha. So it's
like, I know about his difficulties threading and like one side is too tight. And then it's like, I forget if it was like eating or something, like it could break or whatever. I don't understand what threading is except to say that I am terrified by it. And so it's like when you think like there's actually a thread in there. And oh yeah, he had like a difficulty at one point. He literally hosted a radio show and the thread was so tight he couldn't open his mouth to speak. That's what it was. It wasn't like having a snack. It was opening his mouth, but it was like to do his job. So he had to get them loosened.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway, what an episode. Genuinely, what an interesting, complicated episode. I'm excited to watch Miami. That will come up in future AGs. There are a lot of episodes coming while I am abroad. So
good.
I will
you.
Catch up on, thank you. I'll catch up on Miami potentially while I'm in Europe, but also certainly upon my return back. And there are a bunch of new episodes that will be out while I'm gone that I have been recording in the last 2 days. So they're going to be very fresh.
Nice.
Which I'm here for. In the meantime, BBDB, can you tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, listen to your pod, some of the recent episodes? Can you mention it all?
Yeah. So Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo on all social media platforms and the High and Low podcast, wherever you like and get your podcast. And we do all kinds of stuff. I do deep dives on the pod. I did one on the earrings. I went back and found a case where Erica and Tom sued their HOA years and years before they ever knew that the earrings were going to be an issue. And so that's where they were showing proof of that check. And that's where the bankruptcy trustee got the check. And so you get to find out why were they suing their HOA and what's going on with that. And the origin of the earrings, and then I'm doing one on Marco because the documentary Housewife and the Hustler, I'm so glad they focused on Marco, but they left a lot of stuff out. So I'll do one on that too.
Well, very excited to listen to those episodes. Speaking of episodes that are exciting to listen to, have you joined the Andrews Girls Patreon? It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. 3 went up this week. A Taking It Personally style ep, talking behind the scenes, vulnerable moments, making decisions of when and how to share some of our own experiences and boundaries with Lewis Peitzman. We also covered the Traitors, Ultimate Girls Trip Morocco, some Beverly Hills, and a whole lot of Phaedra's future. A Scandal Reading Rainbow, where I read and react to Tom's already infamous New York Times article, and a Snapped-themed episode talking about the nuance and complicated nature of depending on rage cycles. So the Bravo community's response, the network's lack of response on Watch What Happens and social or any other kind of statement, and the complicated nature of having expectations on a network about, you know, incredibly viral actions and behaviors of Bravo Lebs. That's with Kevin Fallon, who's my incredible editor at the Daily Beast and has a huge, huge background in history working at The Atlantic and Us Magazine. And he's worked at a variety of different places and had a lot of strong, really, really dynamic opinions that differed from mine. So I highly recommend that episode. And you can listen to those and so much more. A number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. BBDB, did you tell people where to follow you on IG? Remind me.
I'm Bravo on all social media platforms.
Amazing. Guys, hope you enjoy this episode. Stay tuned for more if you want to join my adventures in Paris and Rome and Amsterdam. You can see those on Instagram. And also when they showed that like love bridge moment I thought to myself, you know what? During a previous trip, I remember going, it no longer exists, I believe, but I remember going on that bridge, and I have like prior Paris trip saved on highlights on my Instagram. So I literally swiped through because I couldn't remember what I did. Do you know I put on the Love Bridge SG and SB for Shannon Bador? Can you believe if you look through my highlights, I don't remember it.
That is so funny.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It was from 2019.
Wow.
So a couple years ago when I was also still spiritually mid-20s plus, I put SG, SB, and it says like, I'll always love you, Shan, or something.
Goodness.
Like the fact that I did that, Kyle and Mauricio literally happily married at that point for over 2 decades. And here I am being like, I stand for Shan, and leaving that as a moment. I think it was like €4 or something.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Might have been even more, maybe like a couple more, but you know.
Worth it.
Loving Shannon is priceless. So there we go. BB, DB, thanks so much for being a part of this episode. You know I adore you, and you're one of my favorite people and voices in this wild community. And
likewise,
I'm so thankful for you coming on the pod as frequently as you do. I hope that that does not change. And aren't we so fortunate that folks can go from finishing this episode to listening to yours? It is an embarrassment of riches at points to have so many unique opinions expressed in this world and community. And I encourage people to listen to a diversity of them because it's important to feel heard. It's important to feel challenged. It's important at many points to feel uncomfortable and to just kind of open ourselves up to opinions and takes that are different from my own, and to sit in them and reflect in them and disagree with them and understand that they still have a right to exist. So
yeah, and I do love a recap. Thank you. And I, you know, I get so much done when you listen to a pod. So I always encourage people, if you're stuck on something, put on a good podcast, have a laugh, and it'll fly by.
Yes. Amen. On that note, which I said for the 18th time, as I always, always do, thanks to all the AGs for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.